Today, enough already. Markets see a year's turmoil in a month. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, the one that is post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, across the Europe and Asia, and in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. It was another roller coaster week in the markets. As US equities fell, the dollar rallied and precious metals slumped in New York. As well as building tensions around potential military action in Iran, President Donald Trump's pick of former Reserve Governor Kevin Walsh as the next chairman of the central bank shook things up as profits were taken and speculation waves turned. Results from AI-heavy stocks, while positive, still had mixed impact on their share prices. The Fed held rates as expected and spoke about a better balance between employment and inflation risks, suggesting Powell may have shepherded his last cut before leaving the chair in May. The MSCI Global Index fell 0.56% on Friday, though it was still up 0.65% for the week, and the European Stoxx 600 rose 0.64% on Friday. The ASX 200 dropped 0.7%. Despite the pullback, the benchmark finished up 0.1% for the week, but ASX futures are pointing to a 1.45% drop on Monday morning. The MSCI Index for Asia ex Japan fell 1.93%. We saw a reversal in US dollar weakness with the DXY up 0.74%, although it's still lower by 1.35% over the past month. The Aussie dollar fell 1.23% on Friday from recent highs. The US dollar, which has fallen sharply in recent weeks amid talk of the so-called debasement trade, whereby the White House was not so secretly happy to see the greenback fall as it made US exports more competitive and reduced the real value of debt pile, jumped sharply on Friday as investors reasoned that Walsh wasn't going to deliver the big rate cuts that other Fed chair candidates may have argued for. Precious metals reversed off recent nosebleed highs, with gold futures down 11.39% and silver down 31.37% at one stage on profit-taking. And perhaps a change in sentiment. A pullback was overdue, of course, and all that was required was the Walsh-shaped spark. These were the biggest falls since the 1980s. Bitcoin was down more than 6% for the week as well. On Walsh, who has a hawkish reputation and is seen as independent by markets, may be better off to bring the Federal Open Market Committee along with him to deliver at least two, possibly three rate cuts this year. But Walsh is a markets guy who has spent the last few years working for billionaire investor Stanley Druckenmiller, perhaps the most universally respected voice on Wall Street. Walsh will probably end up being pretty pragmatic about inflation and rates. Fascinating question, of course, is whether Trump, who also appointed Powell, will come to regret his choice. But we may also see reform at the Fed, assuming he's confirmed in the role, with less market intervention from the central bank. Walsh wants to shrink the Fed's balance sheet, which remains bloated following the bout of quantitative easing since the GFC, whereby the Fed brought up bonds and other debt securities to help bring rates down and make credit more freely available. There's a problem, though, with shrinking the Fed's balance sheet. According to modelling from Oxford Economics, every 1% decline in the Fed's holding of Treasury securities as a share of US GDP, the 10-year yield rises 17 basis points, controlling for several other factors, including debt and demographics. Now, there is a way to get around that, and that's one which Walsh and US Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, who are old friends, you'll be shocked to know, appear to like. The Fed and the US Treasury could change bank regulation to allow banks to hold more Treasury securities without requiring them to hold extra capital against them, which should help put downward pressure on long-term rates. This is what Walsh appears to be talking about when he says he wants the Fed to stop helping Wall Street so much and start helping Main Street. All up, rate cut probabilities through to June or little changed. While Trump has consistently attacked outgoing Fed Chair Jerome Powell for failing to get interest rates down, and Walsh has spent the last year or so consistently arguing that rates should indeed come down, markets decided that Walsh's record as a policy hawk, including erroneously claiming higher rates were needed to kill off sticky inflation at the start of the GFC, even as the unemployment rate was rising, simply couldn't be ignored. U.S. equity markets slipped a little, and the all-important U.S. 10-year bond yield moved a touch higher to 4.239 and the 2-year to 3.526, the opposite of what Trump would want to see. The benchmark S&P 500 index dropped 0.4%, the close at 6,937. The tech-heavy NASDAQ slipped 0.9% to 23,461, and the blue-chip Dow fell 0.4% to settle at 48,892. For the first month of the year, the S&P 500 added 1.4%, the NASDAQ advanced 0.9%, and the Dow gained 1.7% to notch a ninth consecutive monthly advance. That's the longest winning streak since 2018. The rate-sensitive small-cap Russell 2000 index was recently performing better than large-cap indices, but on Friday it lagged with a 1.6% loss for the day. The Russell 2000 ended the month, though, up more than 5%. Among the bright spots, Tesla was 3.3% higher, bolstered by news that SpaceX is reportedly considering a potential merger with the EV maker. Apple reversed earlier losses to end up 0.4% after reporting stellar quarterly results the previous session. The tech giant forecast higher than expected revenue growth of up to 16% for the March quarter, powered by strong demand for its iPhones and a sharp rebound in China and accelerating demand in India. Earlier in the week, Microsoft and Meta both came out with strong results and a commitment to invest even more in AI capex. But while Microsoft stocks were down by 7% across the week, Meta shares rose more than 8%. SanDisk shares surged after the storage chip maker delivered a significant profit beat and raised guidance as demand for data center and AI-related memory products outpaced forecasts. So not all AI investments are created equal. Elsewhere, Trump publicly endorsed a bipartisan spending deal negotiated by Senate Republicans and Democrats that should avert a looming government shutdown, posting support on Truth Social and urging cooperation. The compromise would fund most federal agencies while leaving contentious immigration issues for further negotiation. They are now in partial shutdown, awaiting the final votes. Traders also received some economic data before the opening bell on Friday that further reinforced the Fed's decision earlier in the week to hold interest rates steady. The core December producer price index, the PPI, came in 0.7% higher on a month-to-month basis and 3.3% higher on a year-on-year basis. Both figures were well above the consensus estimates. The delayed PPI data suggests that inflation is still very much a sticky problem. Oil prices seesawed after a 3-day rally, though they were on track for hefty weekly gains as traders focused on potential US military action against Iran. Brent oil futures were last up 0.5% to $69.82 a barrel, and crude oil WTI futures are up 0.6% to $65.21 a barrel. WTI has risen more than 14% in January. That's the biggest monthly gain since July 2023. Sounds inflationary. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and Allies, known as OPEC Plus, is set to meet on Sunday, with recent reports indicating that the cartel is likely to keep its output unchanged. European stocks rose on Friday, bolstered by generally positive quarterly corporate earnings and solid economic data despite elevated geopolitical tensions. The DAX index in Germany closed 0.9% higher. The CAC 40 in France gained 0.7% and the FTSE 100 in the UK rose 0.5%. France's economy grew modestly in the fourth quarter of 2025, slowing after a strong summer rebound, but it's improved at a stronger rate than expected over the course of the last year. Quarterly growth eased to 0.2% from 0.5% in the third quarter, when the Eurozone's second largest economy surprised on the upside. And over the course of 2025, the economy expanded 0.9%, outperforming the 0.7% assumption used in government budget planning. Additionally, the number of people out of work in Germany remained unchanged in January, underscoring a sluggish recovery in Europe's biggest economy. In season-adjusted terms, the jobless figure remained the same as in December at 2.976 million, with the jobless rate unchanged from 6.3% a month earlier. The European Central Bank is expected to keep interest rates unchanged when it meets next week, with inflation close to target and the overall regional economy showing signs of recovery. In the corporate sector, Adidas was in the spotlight after the German sportswear giant reported record sales for 2025 and unveiled a 1 billion euro stock buyback. Swatch said its sales grew 4.7% at constant exchange rates in the second half of last year, even as the Swiss watchmaker noted that profits fell sharply in 2025. And Kiexa Bank delivered a 17.5% return on tangible equity and cut its bad loan ratio to a record low of 2.1%, while raising its dividend 15%, as Spain's largest domestic bank posted net profits of 5.89 billion euros for 2025. That's up 1.8%. AstraZeneca will pay Chinese drug maker CSPC Pharmaceutical Group up to $18.5 billion in a licensing deal for experimental obesity and weight-related drugs, CSPC announced on Friday. And in the financial sector, Schroders has held high-level discussions about potential partnerships to boost growth in its private capital business, according to Reuters. The British asset manager reported exploring deals for Schroder Capital with French investment firm Wendel and London-listed Bridgeport Group. These previously undisclosed talks, which took place several months ago, have since been paused for reasons that, well, aren't totally clear. Regarding monetary policy, Deutsche Bank expects the Bank of England to keep its bank rate at 3.75% in its February decision. The German bank forecasts a 7-2 vote split, and Deutsche Bank analysts point to signs of economic resilience in the UK despite a fragile labour market, where unemployment has reached 5.1% in the 3 months to October. Most Asian stocks fell on Friday, led by declines in technology shares after a weak finish on Wall Street overnight dented risk appetite, while investors weighed Tokyo inflation data that kept expectations for further Bank of Japan policy tightening in focus. Several regional markets, which have posted strong gains so far in January, pulled back from record or multi-year highs amid profit-taking, with Chinese shares leading declines. The blue-chip Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and the Shanghai Composite Indices slipped over 1% each. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index slumped nearly 2%, and the Hang Seng Tech Sub-Index declined a similar amount. Hong Kong shares were set to jump over 7% for January. India's Nifty 50 inched 0.3% lower on Friday, but was still up more than 1% for the week. In contrast, South Korean shares rose again, bucking the broader regional trend. The Kospi gained 0.5%, on strong performance in heavyweight chip makers, with SK Hynix and Samsung Electronics extending gains after stellar earnings results reported a day earlier. In Japan, the Nikkei 225 slipped 0.4%, while the broader topics was down 0.3%. The Nikkei rose over 5% in January, with some gains tempered by a stronger yen, which was last at 104.78 against the US dollar. Bond yields in Japan remain elevated, if down just a tad from recent highs, as the 30-year shows. Tokyo's consumer price data on Friday showed headline CPI inflation fell to 1.5% in January from 2% in the prior month. The print was its weakest since February 2022 and marked another sharp monthly drop in inflation after December's. The data still kept expectations of near-term Bank of Japan tightening alive, though, because core CPI inflation, which excludes volatile fresh food prices, fell to 2% from 2.3%. That missed estimates of 2.2%. The Bank of Japan had last week said that inflation was likely to cool in the near term amid government efforts to curb high energy prices and as private spending eased at the beginning of the year. But the central bank said it expects inflation to pick up later in 2026 and that core inflation is likely to trend above its 2% annual target for the year. The Australian share market fell the most in nearly 2 weeks on Friday, as gold miners were sold off sharply. The ASX 200 dropped 0.7% to 8,869.1, with four of the 11 sectors ending lower. Despite the pullback, the benchmark finished up 1.8% for the month and 0.1% for the week. Materials fell more than 3% as investors exited gold miners. Ora Banda was the biggest laggard, sliding 11.7% to $1.28, while Newmont dropped 7.9% to $173.53, and Genesis Minerals fell 9.9% to $7.59. Among the miners, Rio Tinto lost 3.5% to $151.55, and BHP fell 1.8% to $50.57. Healthcare outperformed as investors sought defensive exposure ahead of the expected Reserve Bank of Australia rate rise next week, supported by end-of-month portfolio rebalancing. CSL rose 1.1% to $181.42, while ResMed climbed 3.1% to $37.54 after beating second-quarter earnings forecasts. Energy was mixed. Whitehaven Coal fell 6.7% to $8.83 amid profit-taking after a 13% rise this month, with oil on track for its best month since July 2023, Woodside Energy gained 0.8% to $25.37 and Santos rose 2.5% to $7.01. Nine Entertainment, the owner of the Australian Financial Review, climbed 5.1% to $1.14 as it acquired digital outdoor advertising group QMS Media for $850 million and sold its radio arm to the Laundy family. Lithium miner PLS slid 6.5% to $4.29 after reporting a solid December quarter, with higher realized lithium prices deriving a 49% jump in revenue to $303 million despite lower production volumes. Star Entertainment dropped 15.6% to 13.5 cents after it warned of ongoing uncertainties following an EBITDA profit of $6 million in the December quarter. And Origin Energy was flat after it narrowed its full-year LNG production guidance to between 645 and 680 petajoules. Yields on 10-year and 2-year Aussie bonds dropped just a little, and the Reserve Bank holds its policy meeting on Tuesday, at which policymakers are expected to vote to lift interest rates by 25 basis points. Markets are 50% priced for a hike, with 57 basis points priced in for the year-end, and 20 of 26 analysts surveyed expecting a hike. In a week ahead note, NAB said, "We think the RBA will remain concerned about capacity pressures and uncertain about the degree of policy restrictiveness." Also on Tuesday, building approvals are to be released, with a trade balance on Thursday, and RBA Governor Michelle Bullock will appear before the Parliament on Friday, and Assistant Governor Brad Jones speaks on Wednesday. The Aussie fell to 69.62 US cents and 50.86 UK pence. In crypto, Bitcoin retreated sharply on Friday, reaching its lowest level in over 2 months as a wave of forced liquidations hit leveraged traders, while investors weighed the potential impact of a US Federal Reserve leadership change. The world's largest cryptocurrency last traded 4.5% lower at 83,085, but was a little lower than that earlier. Data from CoinGlass showed roughly $1.68 billion in leveraged positions were wiped out in the past 24 hours amid the sell-off, with about 93% of liquidations coming from long positions, traders betting on higher prices. Some 220,000 traders saw positions forcibly closed, exacerbating the price slide in Bitcoin and broader digital assets too. Liquidation occurs when exchanges automatically close leveraged positions that cannot meet margin requirements as prices move against traders, often amplifying volatility and accelerating declines in risk on markets. US spot Bitcoin ETFs recorded a sharp $870 million in net withdrawals on Thursday as the cryptocurrency slid to its lowest level in 9 months. BlackRock's IBIT accounted for the largest share of the outflows, with roughly $380 million pooled from the fund, exceeding the combined redemptions from Fidelity's FBTC, which lost about $168 million, and Grayscale's GBTC, which saw about $119 million exit based on figures from SoSo Value. Most altcoins also slumped on Friday after being hit by liquidations. The world number two crypto Ethereum dropped nearly 7% to 2,652, and world number three crypto XRP also declined 6.1% to $1.70. Next week, policy meetings are scheduled for the Bank of England and the European Central Bank. The US will release January jobs data at the end of the week, and the US reporting season will continue apace with focus on Alphabet, Google's parent, and Amazon, as well as AMD, Qualcomm, Palantir, Walt Disney, and Uber, among the more than 1,500 other companies reporting. Markets will watch for events surrounding Iran, the US government's shutdown avoidance, and the AI hype. Plenty to keep markets volatile, and a swing back towards metals is still on the cards, but it's only January, so who knows? Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.